I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Glad you could make it here today. Since we went on the air in 1996, there have been a handful of big international stories that originated right here in our city. The Boston Marathon bombing in 2013, of course. Two of the hijacked 9/11 planes took off from here. And that same year, 2001, the Boston Globe started reporting on some disturbing revelations in the Catholic Church, pedophile priests. It turned out to be a story that had implications around the world. Today, the man at the center of that scandal has died. His name was Bernard Law. He was a cardinal when he was head of the Boston Archdiocese and one of the most powerful American leaders in the Catholic Church. After the scandal broke, we saw the reality of what Law had been partly responsible for, reinforcing a system that gave impunity to thousands of priests who'd committed sexual abuse. Philip Martin, my colleague here at WGBH, is one of the many reporters who've covered this story of the last two decades. Also joining us is Anne Barrett Doyle with Bishop Accountability. It's an independent watchdog group that was founded as a result of the Boston Catholic Church crisis. Welcome to you both. Anne, let me start with you. Just remind us of how explosive the scandal within the church was. Was there a moment for you when you realized just the magnitude of this crisis?
When the Boston Globe actually began its huge front page stories, it was actually January 2002. That first story appeared, fittingly enough, on the Feast of the Epiphany, a Catholic feast day. It was absolutely shocking to Catholic parents like myself that Cardinal Law had known that this pedophile priest, John Gagan, was abusing children, and he kept him in ministry. But at that time, Marco, we thought that it was just John Gagan, you know, that was the only priest that Cardinal Law had mismanaged. By the end of 2002, thanks to litigation and brave victims coming forward, we understood that he had mismanaged more than 100 abusers in the Boston Archdiocese, knowing that children were gravely hurt as a result. It was indeed a massive betrayal of children and a criminal cover-up.
Philip, Law was never accused of sexual abuse himself. How did he become the face of this crisis?
He became the face because he did nothing about the crisis. When the Boston Globe spotlight team and before it, the Boston Phoenix, shed light on this issue, Cardinal Law essentially tried to cover up the scandal. Way before the scandal broke, he had been transferring priests to different parishes and essentially protecting these priests. So as the person in charge, if you will, the boss, the CEO for the fourth largest archdiocese in the United States, he became the person responsible for doing nothing. So from having a reputation as someone, you know, like who stood by the poor and the disenfranchised, he became a pariah.
And right in my own neighborhood in Cambridge, there is a church across the street that is now condominiums because the church had to settle for the lawsuits. Tell us more about the legal consequences for both Law and the Catholic Church.
So the legal consequences for Law were nothing, as Philip said. Despite, I think, a good faith effort by the Attorney General at the time, the Attorney General said, we cannot find a law on the books right now that would allow us to prosecute Cardinal Law. Philip, I don't know if you remember, but when Cardinal Law took off in mid-December 2002, he suddenly had vanished, and no one knew where he went. This was right before he resigned. It turns out that he fled to the Vatican just hours before Attorney General Tom Riley was going to serve him a subpoena to go before a grand jury investigation. Mm-hmm. What we didn't know then, Marco, was that he was not being punished by the Vatican. He was being rescued by the Vatican. He got sanctuary there and was kept in a place of stature and respect. And the reason for that is that we now know that Cardinal Law was merely carrying out orders from the Vatican itself. He was not the architect of the cover-up of sexual abuse of priests. It was the Vatican who had instructed bishops to keep these crimes secret and to protect the church from scandal at all costs. So you asked about the legal costs for the church. Cardinal Law himself never paid a price, unfortunately, but other cardinals and other bishops in the world increasingly are facing criminal charges. There has been a bishop here in the United States who in Kansas City, Missouri, who was found guilty of failing to report child sexual abuse. Two archbishops in Australia right now are undergoing prosecution for cover-up. There is a cardinal in France who is being prosecuted right now for failing to report child sexual abuse.
Well, and so, let me jump in there because I'm wondering right after the scandal that, if we can say, began here in Boston, how far and wide did it spread around the globe?
Ironically, Marco, Cardinal Law famously said right before the Boston Globe began publishing its big stories, he said philosophically, you know, the church has been on a learning curve when it comes to child sexual abuse in the church. Really, the church knew all along what it was doing. It was a very deliberately executed plan of concealment. The learning curve has been the public's. We at first thought it was a Boston problem, and then, well, maybe it's an American problem because we saw the crisis burst open in California in 2003 and spread across the country. By 2010, we understood it was a worldwide problem. We were hearing about cover-up and government investigations in Europe and South America and Canada and Australia. And that is when it became commonly recognized that the Vatican had initiated the cover-up of child sexual abuse.
So Bernard Law goes to Rome. He becomes archpriest at Santa Maria Maggiore, one of the big historic dioceses in the city. Philip, you went there a few years ago to see what life for Law was like. What did you see? What was going on?
That's right. This is 2015. And as Anne is pointing out, this is, again, all over the world you see people addressing, Catholics addressing the church abuse scandal. But in the Vatican, what you saw was, though he was not a rock star, he was held in great esteem. He lived in a beautiful palazzo. He was basically highly regarded by his by fellow cardinals and archbishops and priests in the Vatican. Let me also mention another point about Cardinal Law that I think is really important. Not only did he know about some of these individuals, he allowed some of their actions to continue after these revelations came out. One of the more notorious acts or actors in this whole sordid affair, and Anne knows about this well, is Father Paul Shanley. Father Shanley, I should mention, is someone who left Boston in March 2002. He was well known by the cardinal. Where he was well known, but he took off for Thailand. And what did he do in Thailand? He went to Pattaya, a resort area that is known for sex trafficking. And he basically abused boys while he was there. How do we know this? I was in Pattaya a few years ago and learned this from the Thai police. And so this abuse continued, not just in Boston, but it was it proliferated around the world. And it was something that was known to Cardinal Law.
And let's talk about what's changed since 2002, and to your point that the crisis was essentially managed by the Vatican. Pope Francis comes along in 2013. He represents a new mindset, immensely popular around the world. But today, he's announced that he's going to be attending Law's funeral. How well has Francis really done to put this whole thing to rest?
Pope Francis was the first pope ever to say the words, "Bishops must be held accountable." But Marco, he's been a huge disappointment when it comes to actual results. He has belatedly taken a few bishops out of their positions after they caused enormous scandal and outrage of the public. But his predecessors did the same thing. He never so much as said a disapproving word about Cardinal Law. One of his first acts of Pope actually was to concelebrate a mass with Cardinal Law in Rome. He is keeping known enablers in high positions in the church. So Pope Francis, unfortunately, although he is progressive and a breath of fresh air on a number of issues, has not delivered on this really crucial issue of getting rid of bishops who cover up for priests.
But one of the first things Pope Francis did was create this Commission for the Protection of Minors. Are you saying that it's led to no change at all?
It's led to no significant change. In fact, that very commission, in the last few days, we've learned that he's letting it go fallow. It's essentially entered a hibernation period. But I will say this, in terms of hopefulness, all the public pressure that built in 2002 as a result of the documents being released in Boston and elsewhere, resulted in the U.S. bishops passing strict reform measures. And to this day, the U.S. Catholic Church has stricter policies for removing abusers than any other church in the world. They are still fall far short, and the policy itself has loopholes. So it's by no means have we achieved a perfect state here in the United States. But the U.S. bishops did enact a more rigorous measure for investigating and removing abusive priests.
You know, it occurs to me that Bernard Law dies in the middle of another raft of scandalous revelations, in this case, men preying upon women, especially in the workplace.
Yes.
And power structures protecting those men from punishment for ages. For both of you, does the death of Law connect to this other set of abuses of power, or do you see his legacy as somehow different?
Without question. These things are connected. They're concomitant. You cannot divorce the issue of sexual harassment from other predatory type of behavior. And the Catholic Church during this regime of Cardinal Law helped encourage that, unfortunately. One of the great ironies is that you see a Pope Francis, who indeed is progressive on many issues, including climate change and human trafficking. The reason I went to the Vatican was basically to report on those issues and how he's leading on those issues. So it seems somewhat extraordinary that though he's led on the issue of human trafficking around the world, the ultimate form of abuse, but has basically refrained from carrying out his duties. And it is a duty to rein in and to do right by the victims of sexual abuse, that he's basically fallen down on that.
Anne Barrett Doyle, what do you think?
I totally agree with Philip. There is a really direct connection between the revelations about Cardinal Law here in Boston and the revelations that are happening today about abuse of women across many industries and sectors of society. Thanks to those survivors who came forward in 2002 and 2003, thanks to the exposure of the documents, which were proof, we now more tend to believe victims. Victims can come forward knowing that they won't be automatically pilloried and disbelieved. We now understand the phenomenon of institutional cover-up. We understand the phenomenon of why an abuser can be popular and stay in power and yet still have a series of victims throughout his career. All those things that seem preposterous at first, we learned from the victims of clergy sexual abuse starting here in Boston and now sadly across the world. And we have them to thank, I think, for the tremendous transparency that's happening today in terms of sexual harassment of women.
Anne Barrett Doyle with Bishop Accountability and reporter Philip Martin, my colleague here at WGBH. Thank you both very much for weighing in on this.
Thank you, Marco.
Marco, you're so welcome. Thank you.